Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Frugal Snobs podcast, the award-winning on-demand audio experience that has never won an award, but that could all change. We hope you enjoy this week's episode. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play Music, or check us out on Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. Find out more by visiting frugalsnobs.com. While you're there, be sure to help out the project by taking the Podtrac survey, directly donating via PayPal, or by doing your Amazon shopping through the Frugal Snobs associate link. We also invite you to follow us on Twitter at Frugal Snobs, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/frugalsnobs. And now, on to the episode.
Hey everybody, Justin from frugalsnobs.com. What's up everybody, and welcome to episode 120 of the Frugal Snobs podcast. Today is Sunday, March 25th, 2018. Say hello, Christina.
Hello.
So brought Christina with me. A lot of things going on the last couple weeks. I mean, last weekend, I had to deal with some work-related issues over the weekend. It was up till 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. That's not part of my role, man. Yeah. I mean, I'll do it, but it's not something that should be an expectation, and it's not part of my billable, compensatable scope of my role. So I'm not exactly thrilled about that. I will keep that hopefully to a minimum moving forward, or I'll find something else to do, honestly.
And you're not afraid to say that.
No, I'm not. I did 4 years with the company, only wanted to be there a year. It's kind of on borrowed time now, so whatever. So at least I got some rest, got caught up. Between last weekend and this weekend, some free stuff to talk about this week on this episode. A nice recipe to talk about, a review. Our coin and looting.
Oh my gosh.
And our topic this week, which is going to be on personal marketing. So, sitting here with a cup of coffee, Christina's got a nice big glass of water. We're dry.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this before we hit the record button here in the studio. It's just dry.
Yeah.
And the weather's been weird. We had snow this week.
And then it's gone the next day.
That's right. We had three, four inches of snow here?
Yeah. It was snowball snow.
Yeah. It was like that wet, powdery, like, clumpable snow.
It was the heavy snow that you could pack down tight.
And... that stuff that hurts.
Yes.
The stuff that hurts.
That's when you wish you had a snowball maker.
I don't care about a snowball maker. I want a snowball launcher.
Oh, no. You make it, then you put it in the launcher so that we have a perfectly formed snowball.
A snowball launcher.
Yes.
Anyway.
Aim at the kids.
I guess that's as good as the bowling ball cannon. Anyway, so, okay. So, a couple of things. One, Street Outlaws is back for us.
Yay.
It's a little older season, but at least we get to see it.
Oh my gosh.
Because we're not watching the stuff in real time. But it's hilarious, so it's good to see Street Outlaws back. We've already started to kill half a season.
We're already through half a season.
We binged it, what, starting yesterday?
Yes.
Or no, Friday night.
Yeah, one episode Friday night, and then we binged it.
Yesterday.
Yes.
And we'll probably finish it up between today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Finish it. So,
but then we'll play catch up on all our other shows.
Yes, because we have Designated Survivor still. We have MasterChef Junior. We have all this stuff to watch. And in 2 weeks, WrestleMania 34.
And then also we have Batman.
Yes, Batman the Animated Series. Reminds us of our childhood.
Yes.
And Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Again, reminds us of our childhood.
And it's sad how we're so much like these characters.
Yeah, to a degree, yes. But I think as an adult, watching these shows back, you see more of the adult themes than you did when, of course, when you were younger. And I think it's also so that parents can watch the shows with their kids and still get entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't see that now on television. Basically, you see shows that are, like, purely for children, right?
Yeah, purely children, purely teenagers, and then adult.
Yes.
There's no real blending of show content.
Yes. So, anyway, so we need to get caught up on some of our stuff, but Street Outlaws is back!
Yes, that was a nice surprise!
Yes, it was. You know, the sad part is, you have people on this particular show, Asian Farm Truck, all these folks, making a bowling ball cannon. And I was telling Christina this yesterday watching an episode. Remind folks, also, what channel is this particular show airing on, you know, live in this season?
Discovery.
Isn't Discovery, the Discovery Channel here in the United States, supposed to be like an acknowledging and, like, enlightenment channel?
It's enlightening for the gearheads.
Whatever. Discovery used to be a channel that was all about learning.
Yes.
And you had the National Geographic stuff on there. You had, like, all the animal stuff before you had Animal Planet. All that other stuff. Like, all the enlightenment stuff. All the knowledge stuff. Like, kind of like TLC. Kind of like that.
Yeah, but National Geographic and Animal Planet now have their own TV stations.
Yes. And so, again, I think still on TLC. It's kind of interesting. But Discovery, I don't know. It kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. It's weird. But anyway, folks. And if you're in Canada, by the way, welcome. And Discovery Canada's probably just as crazy. So, it's on the Discovery Channel.
Yes.
So, I'm going to show you how to build a bowling ball cannon.
Yes, and then fire it at a car.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You guys are crazy. Anyway, Street Outlaws is back. Check it out. Like it. We love it. So
can't wait for Man in the High Castle.
Yes! Man in the High Castle, season what?
3.
We've also been trying to get through the audiobook, by the way, and we still need to finish it.
Yes.
And we have noticed some differences between the book and the actual show. In fact, I think we need to devote a podcast episode once we finish the book to talking about Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
I think people would like that.
We should rewatch the episodes, too.
All of them?
Some of them.
Oh, okay. Like, all of them?
They're only 20.
That's a lot of time! That's 20 hours! Plus 10 hours to listen to the audiobook. That's 30 hours. I might as well take a week off and just start writing content for that show. Probably the best show we ever did. How much you want to bet? That's the best show we ever did. All right, so let's get back on track here. Set list. So, just getting caught up on all of our shows. Straight Laws is back. We're going to finish that up and then get into some of our other shows as well. Again, we're in that early spring. And by the way, happy spring. Happy spring.
Happy spring.
That's right. So, jeez, I was saying happy spring and you didn't say anything.
I stopped to sneeze.
Like, happy spring.
I stopped to sneeze.
Did you sneeze?
No.
Okay, then, so you didn't really sneeze.
I stopped it.
Ah. Okay. Anyway, happy spring.
Happy spring!
So we're at the point of the beginning of spring is when all of our shows start to come back, so hoping that the season will be nice to us and be able to keep moving. So, alright, let's talk about our free stuff and finish that up. So, free yogurt past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing spectacular there.
We have a Milka bar, another different chocolate bar, and some more yogurt to pick up.
Ugh, yogurt. I mean, it's good for protein, though.
Exactly.
So, and speaking of health, we have a new scale coming.
Yes.
Be delivered today.
Yes, and it's just like 8 different things. And
yes, BMR, BMI.
Obviously, weight.
Weight.
Water content.
Yes, muscle mass.
Bone density.
Awesome.
That way we can see whether or not if you sneeze, you'll break your bones.
I want to see if the vitamin D and all the supplements that we are on help. Oh,
yes.
We're going to see if those actually help, and we're going to use this particular smart scale.
So you're going to call out your doctor?
If he doesn't call me out first, I mean, he does. He strikes first. Then I'm always on, like, the defensive.
But he said if you didn't take your D, sneeze will break your bones.
He's like, yeah, I want you to take this, because otherwise your bones will turn to dust by the time you're 70. And then gave me crap before I could give him crap about going in on a Saturday to see him, to get my lab results. He's definitely my doctor. Anyway, excuse me, folks. Again, throat's dry. Okay, so free stuff, new scale. It is an intelligence scale, smart scale.
Yes, we already have the app downloaded.
Yeah, so you have to get this app for the scale. We can have up to 10 profiles, so we're each going to create a profile. It's rechargeable.
Yes.
So we're going to basically sync with the scale, and I think it'll be interesting to get our first sets of measurements.
Yep.
I think it'll be cool. Christina, you just buzzed.
Someone texted me in the middle of a show. How dare they?
That's right. And usually, most shows, you owe somebody something, or owe people things when you get a message right in the middle of an episode. Ah, well, we'll think of something. Poke, poke, you owe me a Coke.
Well, you did get ginger ale.
Ginger ale or ginger rail?
Sorry, we're not in Pennsylvania right now.
I had to get that from my next store neighbor. Instead of next door neighbor? How do people talk this way?
I don't know.
That's funny. Anyway, we'll get to that here in a sec. That's a good segue. So, free stuff, chocolate yogurt. Not chocolate yogurt, but chocolate and yogurt. In fact, we're actually putting some killings on our yogurts as well. We gotta start eating more protein and stuff like that and get some more dairy.
I can make more protein donuts!
Apparently you found one yesterday that we didn't know about, and it's seen better days.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably find the cure for cancer on that moldy donut.
Probably.
Most likely. It turned black.
It ate through the parchment paper.
The mold?
Yeah.
Ugh, looks like we got rid of it.
Yeah.
And we're very clean people, folks, and to find something like that, I was like, ooh, God. Get out of here. Anyway, so free stuff, and let's go ahead and talk about our review.
Yes.
Okay. Folks, you'll actually catch it on the flash briefing also from between episode 119 and now. There's two flash briefings now available. There's one from last weekend, and then there's also, of course, one from, I believe, yesterday even.
Yes.
So go check those out on your virtual assistant if you use your Echo speaker. Add the Frugal Sounds flash briefing. Again, you can find the skill on your app and go ahead and get the flash briefing. But you'll be able to catch this most current flash briefing. And, of course, last weekend we covered, if you checked out the flash briefing, which is no longer available as of the new flash briefing, we did review the Godiva Caramel Lion of Belgium.
Yes.
And the Dark Chocolate Ganache.
Heart?
Yes, that thing. Just to do a quick review on that, since, again, the flash briefing is not available really quick, 4 squares per serving, over 150 calories per, so for 4 squares, pretty rich in terms of the calories.
I think it was 310 for the whole bar.
Really?
Yeah.
Whew. That's higher than I thought.
Yeah, 310 for the whole bar.
I was thinking like 180 for the whole bar. But
you got chocolate, you got the ganache, you got a caramel.
The caramel Lion of Belgium to me tasted like a caramello.
Yes.
Cadbury caramello. Dark chocolate ganache was a little too rich for my taste.
Snob rating, dark chocolate.
Snob rating, which is good for your heart. Snob rating, I'd probably give the Lion a 3.5
mm-hmm.
out of 5. excuse me. The dark chocolate ganache heart, I'd probably give it 3.
Yeah.
Just pretty rich, but they were free, so not bad. And I still owe everyone a review of the Guinness Nitro.
Yes.
So 5.8% ABV.
Nitrogen cartridge.
44 IBUs. Again, I would drink very cold. Don't dilute it by drinking it. Accompanied by food. Not bad. Still have a few of these to drink. But I'll go ahead and separate this from the flash briefing and get it out into a YouTube video for everybody. So if you have not done so, get out there on YouTube, folks. And by the way, the Guinness Nitro is somewhat... Can we call it somewhat healthy in that it has at least 2 grams of protein?
Yes, we actually reviewed the Nitro because we had the recording and we put it out on a flash briefing.
Yes, we did. And a few weeks ago. Actually,
yes.
2 weeks ago, I believe. From
yes.
Today, I believe.
Yes, you hear the click, click.
Yes.
Shh.
And we'll put that onto a YouTube video for everybody as well and put it on the channel. While you're out there, folks, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. It helps us out. We're putting out some more coin and banknote review videos soon. So... a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
A lot going on. We've also had some progress on Podcast Royale.
Yes.
So we're starting to put the website together, folks. It's going to be a multi-headed site, so to speak, in that the goal here with the business model is that we have a centralized network, which is a spoken hub system. And we'll talk more about this as we put together a business plan. Again, I think we should do a dedicated episode just to podcast networks.
Yeah.
And for us, the Podcast Royale Network. But this is a next project for us, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Christina's working on a book project. We'll have more on that as it unfolds. You're already starting to work on the website.
Under construction. I am editing the book. I'm over halfway done editing it, actually.
Okay.
And most of the content's written.
Okay. So we'll have more updates on that probably in the next 2 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
Or so, before at least an unveiling, and where you can find this particular
yeah.
book. And Christina and I have also talked about maybe having Christina host a 30-minute to hour audio event.
Yeah, QA if you want.
Or where you talk about the book, how to read it, you know, what, but almost like getting your secret decoder ring to the book.
Yeah, and that's going to be on the website.
Yep, and you also have character pages and things.
Character pages, maps, pronunciation pages.
So there's going to be a lot. I mean, it's a full project. And I think people don't understand how much work goes into these creative outlets. I mean...
The book's over 500 pages.
So in any creative outlet, you have to put in time.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, I mean... How do I put it? I'm selfish in that my feet are both on the ground. In that I have a love of things. But if my love of things can't be monetized, I don't want to do it.
That's why I'm publishing the book, so my writing actually can make money.
No, I'm saying, but you see what I'm saying? It's like I know people that like do podcasts for purely free, and I'm thinking...
No.
No, they're not doing it for purely free. They have reads involved.
And sponsorships, and...
That's what the reads are for,
yeah.
Right? It's for the sponsorships. And it's like, I mean, I would love to have reads, but if I'm going to have reads, it's for things that we actually can help people use.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, I'm not going to do like a read for like Dollar Shave Club, which is not a sponsor, and I'm not... you know, ding any of these sponsors. I get it. They need advertising, you know, outlets and things like that. So they use podcasts like you would use live radio, right?
Exactly.
But I'm not going to... I mean, I don't use the Dollar Shave Club razor. I have a rechargeable Braun razor that's self-cleaning that was worth the money. And, you know, I spend the money on things based on value. I mean, think about it this way. Christina, you went out and looked for, at one point, a new Kia.
Yeah.
Using TrueCar.
Yeah.
Right? TrueCar basically floods the market with ads and whatnot on podcasts and things like that. And you eventually were harassed.
Yeah, by the dealers.
Yeah. And it's like, really? I mean...
I just want to look. I don't want pressured into buying.
And see, here's the problem that I have with reads. And we'll get back to things here in just a second. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get off topic. But to discuss it now with the reads, this is also why the love of podcasting kind of gets to be a bit of a drawback for me. Is that...
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the reads and ads model. I really don't. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to endorse like TrueCar or Geico or something like this that I don't use.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, let me give you a read for a service that we've tried and we hate.
Exactly. We can't endorse that.
No. So, I mean, we are looking at making changes with Podcast Royale and with these other loves of ours to kind of get us more into doing things we enjoy versus things we have to do to make a living. Right? And at the same time, we've been doing this show for 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years next month.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's done some good for us. We have some good listens, some good subscribers, things like that. But we got to start to, we got to move more into the monetization model, and that's what Podcast Royale is all about.
Yep.
So, well, we're going to be focusing on different genres, different segments of society, etc., different topical areas. And we'd like to give small upstart podcasters an outlet. And with this, we'd like to be able to host the podcast for them, if need be, help them get on syndicated onto the networks, help also produce content for them if needed. But again, this is all going to be a new project for us. And, you know, hopefully if it takes off, we can start doing more stuff like this full time.
Exactly.
And if everybody's noticed, we've moved to this model of having an episode every 2 weeks versus every week.
And it's a lot better content.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier for us.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if we're not monetizing this, be happier getting what you're getting, folks. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like, we don't make a dime off this right now.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I mean, we are going to start working on some marketing items for Podcast Royale, but it's kind of just kicking it into gear.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, look, we've been doing this long enough. I mean, I think the 3 year thing, at least for the Frugal Snobs podcast, is more of a kind of a testing ground or a proving ground of, can we do podcasting?
Yeah.
Can we do it consistently? Do we know what we're doing? Do we know how to produce an episode? Do we know how to get it syndicated? Do we know how to put together a model?
Yes.
A sustainable model for a podcast network. And I think we can do that now. So I think we've collected the data we need.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this show will go away or anything like that. But what I do think, though, is things will be changing for us and also for the podcast itself.
Yes.
I think we're going to be focusing more of our time on Podcast Royale. I also believe in the next month or so that this show will probably become more of a flagship show.
Yes.
On the Podcast Royale network. So there may be some changes, folks. We're still going to be around. But I'd rather shift from the chair of talent and recording talent to owner.
Yeah.
You know, and producer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's more fun. We've also talked about some other podcast topics and other podcast, opportunities for us. So, for example, we'll get into our coins here in a second. But we've talked about doing a coining podcast.
Yeah.
Right? Or things like that. Or, you know, a health and fitness podcast. Things like that. I mean, a money podcast and a money and investing. I mean, stuff that we enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to say it to everybody out there. I mean, I've been doing my full-time gig here in the D.C. Metro for over 4 years. Mentally, I'm ready to move on.
Agreed.
You know, 4 years is long enough. I only want to be doing it for a year or two. In the past 6 months or so, things are getting a lot more deep in terms of my involvement, which are beyond the scope of my role. And I know one should never say it's not my job, but I'm kind of getting to a point of getting kind of fed up with it.
Enough is enough. How much more can they stack on your plate?
Right, where it's like, why do you need this other party involved in this relationship with our client just to hire us directly?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not doing the type of work that needs to be done, so why can't we just do it and take all the money for it, basically?
Give you all pay bumps.
Yeah. Yeah, or what is perceived to be a pay bump versus just moving money around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get into that in another episode. But again, I'm not upset, folks. I don't want people to think that. It's just, my mind's not on that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you play it out. It's like, look, I've learned what I wanted to learn. I've done what I wanted to do. I've completed this chapter.
Yes.
Turn the page.
Yes.
Makes sense? So, good Bob Seger song, by the way.
I was just thinking.
It's a good Bob Seger song, by the way. Anyway. All right. So, free stuff. And we got more stuff coming up with Podcast Royale. Christina's, you know, busy working away at her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big project on your plate. You really do. Plus, you know, having to deal with, you know, household stuff, you know, between us and just getting stuff done around the studio, stuff like that. You're busy.
Yeah.
So, but it's good for you, though.
Yeah.
It's good to focus your time.
I mean, this is a massive project that's taken years to do because of working full-time, working on that part-time.
Yeah, and now you've shifted more of your time to doing, you know, this more full-time.
Yeah.
Right?
And now
you should. I mean, no offense, Christina. Mm-hmm. No offense to me either. We're not getting any younger.
I know.
And all the things we said we wanted to do and have been intending on doing, we're finally doing.
Yes.
And it does feel good, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh. The fact that I got this monkey almost off my back.
I mean, I've noticed at night we sleep a lot heavier.
Oh yeah.
But we're actually doing stuff. That's the thing. It's like, we've come here for weeks and episodes on end. Over 100 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And at this point, 120 of them. and we've been funny, and we've been nice, and we've been encouraging, we've been serious sometimes. But now it's like, okay, listen, we've helped everyone around us enough.
It's about us now.
It's about us now for a little while. So it's like, yeah, we've helped everybody else out. We got to do some stuff for ourselves. It's just, you know, turning your brain into that next gear.
Exactly.
It's like, all right, I mean, how much of the same thing can you do every day?
Exactly.
Where it's like, nah, I need to move on for me.
Exactly.
So we're not leaving everybody. The show will still be around. We are going to do more serious topics, though. And things that can actually help you.
Yes. We're doing the same thing that we are telling you to do.
Yeah, we're pumping in, you know, the funny stories. We have a couple of them, things like that, but... Christine's already laughing.
I know which one you're going to tell.
We have a couple of things, but now it's more like, you know, we're a team together.
Yes.
And we need to focus on us.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, I've helped you as far as I can. Now you need to help me.
Yes. You know? And if you need more help, go back and listen to previous episodes.
That's right. I mean, we'll still be around. We'll still be doing these episodes every couple of weeks. But again, they're going to be targeted, and we're going to be on things people can actually use, hence today's topic. Anyway.
Which is still relevant.
Yes. All right. So let's move on. Hopefully that kind of got more information out to folks. Again, a live show, but I want folks to understand that, you know, this isn't just for you to listen to every couple weeks, get a smile out of it, and, you know, us take nothing from it. We took things from this show.
Yeah.
We took know-how. Knowledge is power, and that's what we took from it. We learned how to build a podcast from the ground up, and we did it. From the ground up.
Yes.
We went and got the hosting. We set up the platform. We keep the virtual private environment completely up to date and secure. We're doing all of our syndication. We've done all of the legwork. I mean, we've built the podcast from the ground up. True?
Yes.
All right. So, cool. I mean, again, all the digital comp for this, other than a little bit of work on some voiceover work, has all been us. Mm-hmm. It's all been us. So, now it's time to kick that into the next level. So, all right. So, Podcast Royale, make sure everybody kind of keeps that on your radar. We'll be giving updates on a weekly basis, or an episodic basis, I should say. Also, make sure you check us out on social media and also on the Twitter. I'm hoping to use Twitter a little bit more than we typically have.
Yeah.
We've typically just used it as a syndication method.
Yes.
But I think it's a good idea for us to start using it to actually do more announcements.
I agree.
So... And same thing for your book, etc.
I gotta get a Twitter account for it.
Yes. So, anyway, let's keep moving.
Yes.
And by the way, I know everybody's gonna ask, why aren't we on Instagram? What's the point? I mean, all the images are already gonna go on the Facebook stream anyway.
Yeah.
For the fan page, so it's like, why?
But Facebook is apparently for old people.
Yeah, what's the difference, though? An image is an image. You see what I'm saying? Like, on Instagram and stuff? It's like, and no offense with Instagram... Nobody cares about
your... Vine.
Yes, here's the deal. Nobody cares about your lives that much.
Yeah.
Okay? We have a show that makes more people care about our lives because we broadcast it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that you, like, went to the beach with your friends, don't care. Everybody goes to the beach.
Yeah.
You went out drinking with your friends last night, don't care.
Everyone does that.
Everybody does that because they're stupid. I mean, all this stuff... Again, it's back to the... Just because things are new to some people doesn't make them not routine for others.
Exactly.
Is that a good way to look at it?
Yes.
Like, I went to the beach this weekend. I'm like, dude, there's people that live in Florida that go to the beach every afternoon because it's their yard.
Yeah.
Okay? You know what I mean? It's like, get over yourself. Seriously. That's all social media basically did was made everybody into a jerk.
Yeah.
It really did. It
made, self-important jerk.
It made everybody into self-important jerks that are essentially mediocre people that think their lives matter.
But yeah, we're going to actually help you with your social media today.
We are. But no, hold on. Hold on. This is a little bit different, though. This is personal marketing, not necessarily...
Broadcasting your life.
Yes, not necessarily vanity. Big difference. So my best friend, I'm like, dude, do I know your best friend? No, then why am I looking at this? And why is my phone blowing up with all of your useless events?
Exactly.
Okay? I mean, good things, like got married, kid graduated from Harvard, big accomplishments in your life.
Go there.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But, like, the, dude, I just went out and had 20 beers. I'm like, nobody cares.
Go kiss your lover goodbye.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. God, nobody cares. Anyway, alright, so... Let's go ahead and move into our coining.
Yes, our massive coin.
Well, do you want to do the coining first? Do you want to do the reviews first? Because we kind of did the Godiva already. Do you want to do the green tea ginger ale? So, sorry, folks. We talked about this a little bit. We talked about it a few minutes ago. But it's an inside joke. Christina apparently found this, I guess I'll call it Pennsylvania English.
Yes.
Post on Facebook of all the things people say poorly or incorrectly, apparently, if you're from Pennsylvania. And again, it's not against people from Pennsylvania. We're just going through this based on what we saw.
Like, next door neighbor?
Neck store neighbor versus next
door neighbor.
And ginger rail instead of ginger ale. Jeez. What is wrong, people? I'm just saying. Okay, look. I am from God's country. Okay? Great state of Maryland. Most beautiful flag in the Union, and we speak English. Just saying. Of course, I could be rude and say, you drinking a water, hun? How about them ooze? God, I will say this. The Baltimore accent,
annoying.
Or the Maryland accent, very annoying. I'm so glad I grew up in other parts of the country. You know, I've been told I have an East Coast accent or that I talk fast. Yeah, I do. You know why I talk fast? I got things set. I got things to get out. So, anyway, we do have a quick review, and again, back to the joke of the ginger rail, but in this case, ginger ale. We picked up, it was like $3 for $9 or whatever?
$3 for $6.
We picked up 3 12 packs of Pepsi products this past week.
Normally, they are $6.49 a 12 pack.
Wow. For this particular Canada Dry. So we picked up Canada Dry ginger ale, picked up a regular, and Christina picked up a green tea ginger ale. I gotta keep enunciating it.
And then an A&W.
We tried the green tea ginger ale. It's not bad.
No. I like that it's less carbonated.
And it has antioxidants.
Yes.
You know, and the cool thing is, too, about this is we could probably make our own. It's kind of like an Arnold Palmer thing with lemonade and iced tea.
Yeah.
Same concept. We're going to try this out, folks.
I'm thinking 50-50 split.
So we're going to try this out. We're going to take a regular Canada Dry ginger ale, right? Canned, you know, non-green tea.
Yeah.
We're going to try to brew a tea.
Yes.
Okay. And then we're going to do, to Christina's point, let it cool and do a 50-50 split. And see what we get. Because here's the thing. I mean, you went to a local grocery store to pick this up, and they only had one left, one 12-pack left, and you picked it up.
Yeah.
They were rated for that stuff, and it's delicious. It was delicious. It was good.
Yeah.
It's like a green tea just carbonated.
Yeah.
Has just enough ginger in it. And it makes sense. I mean, they make ginger green tea. So it's like, oh, that makes sense. Those pesky Canadians.
Speaking of Canada.
Oh, yes, coins. Gotta get into this stuff. So we have a ton of coins, folks. So
we've got 19 each.
Yes, and unexpected treasures. So
yes.
Let's go ahead and talk about the nickels.
Yes.
All right, so folks, we talked about this a little bit on episode 119. We did order for $10 US with shipping included, 19 George VI nickels from 1937 to 1952, the entire reign.
Yes.
And this included the Tombeck nickels, the commemorative nickels, and we'll talk about that here in a second. So, 19 nickels each.
Yes.
We were happy with those. What we did discover is the 1942 beaver nickel.
Yes.
We have one nickel. And we have one Tombeck nickel.
Yes.
Which is a brass alloy compound.
Yeah.
Essentially and brass.
There's half as many of those as the regular nickel.
Right, because it was split, right?
Yes.
Right, so Christina has a good point. So I think that there were like 6.8 million...
of the regular nickel.
Of the regular nickels minted, and there were 3.4 million of the Tombecks.
Yes.
From 1942. And again, this is a split year, folks. So we have both nickels. We have the beaver nickel and the Tombeck beaver nickel.
Yes.
There, you see? I saved it.
The silver, or the nickel
the
beaver...
The nickel nickel. The nickel beaver and the Tombeck beaver.
Yes.
Nickel beaver, brass beaver. Okay.
Yes.
And then starting in 1943, you see more of the V nickels, and 1943 is a full Tombeck year.
Yes.
So Tombeck is basically, okay, so let's go back a little bit for the listeners. So you'll hear these nickels from Canada from the 1942-1943 years, so those 18 months or so where these were basically struck. Due to the war effort for World War II, another alloy had to be used. It's very similar to the steel penny thing.
Yes.
In the United States, right? And that was 1943?
Yes.
I think with the steel pennies. And in this case, in Canada, nickel was needed for the war effort, so a brass or brass alloy type of material or metal was used, essentially brass, to strike nickels.
Yeah, copper.
Yep. So basically a brass-copper alloy kind of deal called, and it's nicknamed, I think it's called Tombeck or nicknamed Tombeck.
Yeah.
And so in 1942, you start to see these nickels produced, and as I said, we have the beaver nickel and the beaver top back. When I say beaver, I mean the back of the nickel, folks.
Yeah.
George the Sixth is on the front, beaver on the back. You still see the beaver on the back of the Canadian nickel today.
Yes.
I sound like the Macho Man Randy Savage. You still see the beaver on the back of the nickel. That's pretty good.
And then in 43, it switches to the V nickel.
That's right. I could say my oh yeah like the Macho Man, but I won't. I have a barely bionic elbow. Anyway, so you do see the V nickels appear starting in 1943, I guess?
Yes.
I mean, the beaver's up to that point.
And then it switches back.
To nickel. And V nickel nickels, and then you have the beaver nickel after 1945, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's only the V nickel for 43, 44, and 45.
Now, the interesting part is, what we did not look at is to see if we could compare a V nickel from the early 20th century in the United States to the V nickel from Canada, see if the backings are different.
They're similar but different.
Ah, so we might want to do a little skit on that in a future episode, just to compare the two. So yes, these are V nickels as well. Again, 1943 through 45, so those are pretty cool. So we did get our Tomback nickels we wanted, and so for 42 and 43, we were not aware of a Tomback in 42, I will openly admit that, but we have both.
Yes.
So we have two Tombacks.
Surprise!
That is cool. That is cool to have two Tombacks. Essentially, they're a nickel that looks like a penny.
Yeah.
Basically, I should say. It looks like a penny. It's just brass.
Yes.
Okay, and we have two 1947s. We're not quite sure what that's all about.
We gotta research that and we'll get back to you.
Yes, why we have two of them. But we do. We have two sets of these nickels, folks. And then we have a commemorative 1951. And Christina just found this before we hit the record button here. An interesting fact about the 1951.
It actually marks the 200th anniversary of
Nickel's discovery?
Yeah, and how to make it into a coin.
Ah.
And that was discovered by a Swedish chemist, Axel Kronstedt.
I see. Axel F. Kronstedt?
Yes.
Nice.
So the back of that nickel has the nickel plant on it.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, because we were wondering what was in the back of this nickel.
It's a nickel plant.
So basically, it's the nickel, basically the metallurgy of nickel.
Yeah.
And also the refining of nickel to coinage.
Yes.
Ooh. That sounded really smart, didn't it? That sounded really good. I used to be a smart guy. Used to.
But then...
Still a smart guy. I just covered up really well.
They have another 1951 beaver nickel, but it's made of steel.
And as you said, this particular year, the nickel was required for the Korean War effort.
Yes.
So basically you have a nickel.
Which is the commemorative.
And a steel nickel.
Yes.
And the steel nickel, as you said before, is more valuable than the commemorative nickel because it's a steel nickel.
Yes.
Okay. And we did not know that. So until just before we hit the record button. So these are small little things we find out. You know, I was telling Christina that, you know, coin collecting's not dead. Do you think it's dead? I don't think
so.
There's
so much information behind it.
You know, and I think has happened is coining has become more exclusive.
Yes.
You know, we don't value the artistry or the craftsmanship in money and in currency globally that we used to. So I think, you know, for a period, collecting coins, banknotes, things of this sort became very expensive. And I think it is still a very expensive thing. It's kind of like golf or very expensive hobbies for people. I think it's an exclusive tier.
Yeah.
Exclusive strata. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people that got into the hobby kind of found it getting expensive and just didn't have time for it. And I think that's what happened in our next find, which are the prestige sets.
Yes.
So these were unexpected, folks. I got these this week. Basically, the prestige sets are essentially a proof set from the United States Mint that include a commemorative coin, I believe. Or coins.
Coins.
So, what we have, I should say at least one commemorative.
Yes.
So, this week a coworker, I shouldn't say a coworker, but a person I work with in my full-time role for a different company, but we work alongside one another, brought in two prestige sets, and he sets them on my desk, and he's like, Merry Christmas. And I'm thinking, what do I owe you for these? And he's like, oh, they're yours, you can have them. Basically, these are sets that he had started to collect and just didn't want anymore. So these are really cool. They come with COAs. They are two prestige sets. We were not aware of prestige sets until this week.
Yeah.
So I brought them to Christina on the afternoon, Thursday afternoon?
Yeah.
And just tickled with them, so to speak, as some folks would say, and older than our generation. Crushed velvet case. Nice.
And they're S sets.
So that means they're from the San Francisco Mint.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. And we have a 1986 and a 1990 set.
Yes.
Now, nothing was really significant about these years, so to speak, but the commemoratives that we picked up were pretty cool.
Yes. The 1986 set has the Ellis Island dollar and half dollar in with the regular coins.
See, that's cool. So the Ellis Island half dollar, does it have a Kennedy front or not a Kennedy front?
The half dollar does not.
Okay, so basically it has an Ellis Island specialty front and back.
Yes.
Right? And the dollar coin has a special front and back.
Yeah, it has the Statue of Liberty with Ellis Island behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part with this one on the back,
mm-hmm. it has... When you say this one, do you mean the half dollar or the dollar?
The dollar.
Okay, the dollar coin. Okay.
Has, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses... yearning to breathe free.
Yeah, well, our current president's trying to get rid of those huddled masses.
I'm just saying.
Look, I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is their descendants are fine. What I'm saying is the new huddled mass.
Yes! Come here legally, please.
Be careful. We have listeners. So just be careful.
I'm just saying, do the right paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Apply for citizenship, all that good stuff.
Yes. Mm. And on the half dollar, it has a picture of... a family standing on a dock watching a boat pull away.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think it's very interesting that these sets actually came about to us and came into our hands for absolutely free. The other set is the 1990 set, which includes the Eisenhower dollar coin, yes?
Yes, it does.
So Christina's shuffling through to get to this...
Yes, COA slipped from its little holder.
And these do come with COAs.
Yes. And it has the Eisenhower Centennial coin, dollar coin, but only one half dollar.
I assume the Centennial Birth coin.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool, pretty cool. Got it for absolutely free.
And it has two images of him on the front.
Mm-hmm.
One is the president up front, and then behind him is his military image.
Ah.
The military profile.
That's kind of cool.
And then on the back of that dollar coin, it actually has a picture of his home.
Nice. And actually, we just put an auction out a bit ago. We'll probably have to relist it for an Ike dollar and an Eisenhower dollar coin.
Yes.
Now, see, if this were a loose coin...
that would still fit, though.
It'd sell all three. But that's pretty cool, again, to have these prestige sets absolutely free. We were not expecting it. They've been cataloged. They'll be put in the safe.
Yes, because the day after the dollar came, mm-hmm. you got these.
Yes. And speaking of the dollar... let's go for the dollar. It's the 1928 $1 silver certificate.
Yes.
Finally got one, so we have a funny story about this.
Yes, unintentional.
So, Christina, trying to do the right thing, running some errands at some point about a week and a half ago or so.
Yes, I went to a local grocery store to pick up tinfoil because we ran out.
So, picking up tinfoil, you were in the parking lot, sun was shining.
Yes, couldn't see my phone that well.
And you happened to look at this particular auction on eBay on your phone. And it was going for a very low amount, and you wanted to pick this up because I wanted a 1928 $1 silver cert for some time.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they've been going a little high in terms of the market. So these bills are not worth as much as one would think, folks, so be careful when you buy this bill, but it's pretty cool. Christina, you were going to put in a bid of $16 US for this as a max bid, but
yes.
Instead you bumped the 9 instead, so inadvertently you put in a bid of a max bid of $169.
Yeah.
So,
that's like,
if somebody wanted to be a jerk, they could have bid this thing so high.
Yeah.
And it would have been the most expensive $1 silver certificate we would have ever bought. And it would have been very stupid for us to have to do that. But in a way, you can't really help it at that point. It's a mistaken bid, so... anyway, long short though, happy ending. Ended up getting it for $13.50.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome.
That was funny. I mean, the thing is, whenever I picked you up that day, I'm like, hey, how much would you spend for a 1928?
So 15 to 20 bucks, and you got it for $13.50, so it's yes. a good deal. But again, you would have paid up to $169 for it.
I was mad over that.
But it's a nice bill, folks. It looks very similar to the 1922. I think... we've talked about the 1928 on the show before as well. We're also going to put out a video for the 1928 $1 silver cert. The audio is already done. It's also on this week's Flash Briefing, so go listen to it. So we'll be throwing up the video on YouTube soon. Again, no blue one on this bill, folks. Those were introduced to the 1934 series. It is also the first year of smaller notes in the United States.
And it looks like I might be picking up another one because there's one that's buy it now or bid.
Mm-hmm.
No bids.
Nice. How much?
13.
Nice. When does it go offline?
3 minutes and 44 seconds.
Nice. So you might win. Okay, so I'm going to talk while Christina basically goes and wins her bill, hopefully.
Well, we can move on to the topic if you'd like.
Well, I just hope there's no pinpricks, no holes, no tears.
No, I looked at it. It looks good.
Awesome. You might be able to win this bill on a live episode of this show.
Yes.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and finish up on the 1928 $1 silver cert, and I'll let you kind of monitor your bill. So this particular bill looks very similar to the 1934 series. Almost identical. The only difference is you have a large one on the front side of the note offset. You also see that on the 2, the 1928-2 as well. You have a seal that's been moved to the opposite side.
Yeah.
So to speak, that you don't have on the 1934. You still have the prominent ones. There's still the prominent inks on it. Still same portrait on the front side. So really there's nothing to write home about on the front side.
Except
for
there's that no one on it because they didn't have that digit on the 28.
That's
like
true.
They
didn't, have the blue digit or whatever it is, right? And you didn't see it to the 1934 series, which you do see that on the 1934 1, 5, etc.
And this is the first small print.
Yeah.
Not a horse blanket.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I just said that going into this.
Okay.
I said it was the first series of small notes.
I am juggling.
Okay.
So, I'm going to win this bill.
That's right. So basically what I'm hearing is I'm only listening to about every third word you say, but it's important. So
we might get another one.
Omelet, hash browns,
bacon.
I'm trying to get you to pick up some of these words.
Are you hinting for breakfast?
Late breakfast. Anyway, so, 1934 note also is similar to this 1928 note. The back is identical.
Yes.
So, if you wanted, I spent a pretty penny for the 1934 $1 silver cert, but it was a nice bill in terms of the condition. The 1928 bill, not as nice in terms of condition, but no rips, no tears, no pinpricks, no holes, but was folded a bit, but not so bad in terms of what was paid for it. I'm happy with it. Considering the cost of ownership and acquisition, we paid a fair price for it. So happy with that. So that is the 1928 $1 silver certificate. I can add it to the collection. You can catch that the video on YouTube.
Coming soon.
How much time is left on your note?
1 minute, 21 seconds.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and start in on the topic. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right, so stop me if you win it. If you don't win it, I'll stop in a couple minutes. All right, so this week we want to talk about personal marketing. Now, I, of course, went on a rant about social media. I guess really what I want to talk about this week and what we could talk about is basically how to personally market yourself. And I think we've learned a lot more about this in our job hunts recently and also with this podcast. We've learned a lot about personal marketing and not being obnoxious about it. So with personal marketing, these are just our suggestions. One of the first things I would suggest is get yourself a personal website.
Yes.
They're not expensive. You can buy your own domains. You can get them for as little as $1 for the first year, and then I think $14 to $18 or so after that. But you can easily port your domains to save a few bucks. But anyway, separate episode, separate topic for that. But get your domain and get yourself a personal website. They're not hard to get. They're not hard to set up either. A little bit of work and it's pretty good to go. I would suggest you focus on a resume-based site or a portfolio site. Did you win your bill?
17 seconds.
Okay, sorry.
You're antsy.
But I would definitely suggest a portfolio site. Show off your work, show off your projects, and also a resume site. Now, I know everybody's going to say, oh, well, there's LinkedIn. Yeah, there is, but it's not really made the same for the same type of messaging as you would have from a personal site. So what I mean by that is you can embed a lot of your work. Did you win it?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. Christina won a bill live on this show. High five. Thank you. All right, cool. Another 1928?
Yes.
28A?
Let me double check it.
All right.
Doing the checkout thing now, then I'll let you know.
Okay. So you won your bill.
Yes.
No rips, no tears, no pinpricks, nothing.
Nada.
Excellent. And besides, there's a return policy if there is.
Yes.
So anyway, on a personal website, a little bit different than what you would have on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a kind of more of a flat site. I think with a personal website, you have more dimensions to your character and to yourself that way as a professional. You can talk about so many different things, showcase your work, embed some things there as well. And I'll talk about also here in a few minutes how to integrate your personal marketing a little bit better. I myself have a personal website, as does Christina. We use them as resume sites, essentially, but we also embed other things. Like we embed shortcuts to our social media. We embed shortcuts to other professional profile sites like our LinkedIn pages.
Yes.
We also embed other things as well, such as, for example, a menu to find this podcast.
Yes.
Right into our personal websites as well. So it's a way for you to cross-promote your projects. So we have the Frugal Snobs thing going on, but we also take some of those basically modules or components or web parts from our Frugal Snobs website, and we inject those into our personal site, so we have a consistent image and campaign across not only our personal websites and professional websites, but also our projects.
Exactly. Like I use the same theme on my resume site as I did my book site.
Smart. Smart. Also, on your LinkedIn page, you might want to put that out as your background, if you think about it. Possibly. Just thought. That's all. Like, right now I have a bunch of locks.
As an image, I have a nice damask thing.
Excuse me.
Yes. But on my Google profile, I have my book cover. On my Facebook, I have my book cover.
Mm.
So all those are now uniform.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I think for myself, what I really like to do is, right now on my LinkedIn, I have all the digital code with the locks and stuff like that. Because I work in, you know, cryptography and, you know, data security, blah, blah, blah. Smart card technology. I know I just said blah, 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 but I'm like, yeah, all this brainiac stuff that, like, really smart people have to do.
Yes. But at least you do it ethically.
Yeah, true. But I need to find kind of a consistent background for all those things. I mean, like, right now my Facebook, I think, is a bunch of currency.
Yes.
Which I kind of want to put also on my LinkedIn as well.
And I think it is.
It is.
Yes, we took that off. We took the coding off and put the bills there.
We did? On my LinkedIn?
Yes.
Nice, go check that out. If we did that or not.
We did that over 2 months ago.
We did.
Yes.
I could also do that on my actual personal website, too. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes.
But, again, if you're going to have a personal website, I think it's a great way for you to showcase your work. And also a way for you to have interaction with other people a lot easier.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for us, it's like recruiters finding us, right? It's like, you go find my resume, like, on a Monster or a Dice or Career Builder or ZipRecruiter or Indeed or Simply Hired or...
other hiring site.
Yeah, I actually ran out of breath just in that aspect. I mean, it's kind of like, you want to control more of your image.
Yeah.
And what I don't like is when recruiters and stuff call me or try to email me for, like, jobs in states I don't live in anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I moved from there, like, 5 years ago.
Or, like, oh, hey, we know you're here, but why don't I move here?
Right. Or, here's a good one. We know you're in the general area.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't mind driving, like, 3 hours to go to work, would you? Like, yeah, I would.
I just had a call like that recently. It's like, oh, you're here. It's not that bad of a drive. It's only here. I'm like, chick.
You obviously don't understand traffic.
I was like, you're in Tampa.
Hey.
You don't understand.
Hey. Hey.
I can say this. She's not been up here.
Oh, fine.
That's...
Okay. I say, hey, be careful.
But she was like, she's expecting our traffic here to be like traffic down there.
No.
And that is
you've
the wrong
been to Tampa
assumption.
To come and visit me when we first started kind of dating and whatnot.
It was nice.
Yeah, you could actually get someplace in 10 minutes. Go 10 miles, 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Up here, 10 minutes might get you half mile.
Maybe.
And it's on worse roads, potholes, weather, all kinds of crap. I mean, down there, I mean, look, there's pluses and minuses. I see why people retire to Florida. I see it. My parents are in Florida, and they're by no means retired. But it's just
better.
Slower. Slower pace of life, more friendly people, stuff's newer, infrastructure's newer, roads are nicer.
Yeah, you're going down the road.
Yes, and you can get, and here that is, and you can actually get places there in 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I'll meet you at the sports bar up the street in like 5 minutes. Oh my God, you're here and it's been 5 minutes! You know what I mean? It's just, different. It's just different. I mean, I remember... A time in my life where some friends of mine that I used to work with used to go to the sports bar literally up the street, maybe 900 feet from my house. And they would go there like on Thursday afternoons. So if I was working from home or something, they'd say, we'll meet you there. We'll be on the patio outside. Okay, fine. They would have enough time to get there, get a table, and call me. And they would order me a beer or something when I left my house. And it was still cold when I got there.
And you walked.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. I walked right up, had a cigar in my hand, lit it right up at the table, sat down. What's going on, boys? Did you order wings yet? Why not? See, I can't do that here.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
You're lucky if you can walk to the Chinese buffet in 5 minutes.
That's right.
And that's right across the street.
That's right. I'll say this. I mean, and again, this is back to the personal marketing thing. Marketing for where you want to be. You know, I mean, did I really want to be in the Washington metro area for over a year? No. No, I knew what it was. I knew how cutthroat it was. It's a resume builder.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Get to your Gubby experience and get out of there.
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of what Christine and I are looking to do. I mean, I've kind of already put in a soft notice with my company that I'm not staying another year. You know? I've been moved up and promoted. I got what I wanted. I got a promotion out of it. I just want to be promoted once in any role that I'm in. And I can move on. You know, with a personal website and whatnot, it follows you everywhere, right? So, I mean, and the same is the case for your LinkedIn and your social media, so...
And be careful what you put on your social media.
Yes, by the way, don't be stupid. Don't swear on your social media. I've seen that so many times. Like, are you an idiot?
And here's another tip. Watch how you post something. You can post to the world, you can post to your friends, or keep it to yourself.
Yes, 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 yes. And quite frankly, it also kind of, again, leans into that personal website. You could keep a journal or whatever on your personal website. And then certain things you can post.
Yes.
Right? To your social media, right? So, I mean, keep an understanding of what society sees in you.
Yes.
And yes, I understand people are going to say, well, I don't care what society thinks. You will when it comes down to employment.
You will when it comes down to your paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. You absolutely will. Well, I don't want to conform to society. Okay.
Well, then society will conform to you, and they're not going to give you much.
No. They'll deal with you.
Yes.
There's a difference between being an issue to be dealt with and being somebody who thrives in society.
Yes.
So, personal website, I'm a huge fan of. Social media should basically be a supplement.
Yes.
To your personal website, in my opinion, in terms of the strata.
Yes.
Your LinkedIn profile should also be important and kind of be a subset of your personal website. So, not as important as a personal website or portfolio site, but mimic and shadow it.
Yes.
And shadow it for the outside world, for recruiters and things that need, like, the critical points or whatever that from your personal website. They may not want to dig through all that. They may just want the quick stuff that they need. That's how I would do it. Also, LinkedIn has a feature, and Christina's seen this before as well. It used to be on LinkedIn Labs, the resume builder, but now they've kind of folded that away. And I'm assuming maybe with the Microsoft purchase or whatever. But what they have now is you can actually click on, and you've seen it.
Yeah.
You can click on the PDF version.
Yes.
Of the resume right off a person's profile. What you can actually do is you can right-click on that in your browser and click on the Save Link Location.
Mm-hmm.
Or Copy Link Location,
yes.
I should say. Whatever browser you're using or preference. And you can create a hyperlink on your website for that particular PDF. That way, as you update your LinkedIn profile, the generated dynamic link for the PDF
mm-hmm.
updates as well, and you're not having to do that work.
Yeah.
So if you update your LinkedIn profile, what is generated when clicking that link on your personal website mm-hmm. will change based on the LinkedIn profile. So you're not having separate, flat, static PDFs. You're having
yes.
a dynamic PDF. So this way, when people go to your website, click it, resume, done.
Yeah.
Now, let's get down to your recruiting job board profiles.
Yeah.
I hate these. I hate these with a purple passion because people harass you. And one thing Christina and I were talking about at one point is when you get emails from people, you can't even pronounce a name.
Yeah.
Or somebody that calls you and says, hello, my name is Tim. I'm like, Tim's not your name, man.
Where are you calling from?
That's right.
What time zone you in?
No, I would look at it as, what time is it? Oh, it's 6 o'clock. A.M. or P.M.?
Yeah.
You know, And I also like when people, like, contact you for positions that you're not even qualified for, or because you mentioned a skill on a profile, they think you're an expert. It's like, yeah, I do this. I've done it, like, maybe 10 years ago. It's just a skill. I mean, I can brush up on it, but I'm not here to be this thing full-time.
Yeah.
Also, I think with your personal image and your personal marketing, it's a good idea to really focus on soft conceptual skills and not on hard, finite skills. Like, if you were to say something like, I'm proficient in Salesforce, that's very specific. Versus, I'm proficient in sales and CRM platforms.
Yes.
That's much more generic.
Yeah.
Because that's what companies look for. It's not what you know about one thing, it's what you can learn.
Yes.
So everything is very conceptual based now with employment. And I think people don't realize that as much.
Like on my resume, I have a little skills blurb where it says, Salesforce, HubSpot, Microsoft Dynamic.
Right, but what I'm saying is it might be a better idea for you to say something like customer relationship management platforms and put in parentheses such as blah.
There wasn't room in my template.
Ah, you need a better template. I guess I'm just saying it's like, yeah, but I use Sugar CRM, which Sugar CRM is a thing. It's like, well, do you use Sugar CRM? Well, no, then I don't need you then. It's like, wait, I can learn it. See, it's different. It's not about what you have done. It's what you can learn.
Yes.
And I think that's different for every company, but I think that's one thing that I've been able to at least port between positions. You know, it's like, dude, I can do anything you got.
Yeah.
You know, just give me some time, and I've done some of these things that are similar to it. And anybody that has, you know, again, common sense and an aptitude can learn quickly. So I think that, you know, your personal marketing should be around those skills that you have that are unique. And then you can demonstrate based on a specific example.
Yes.
That's different. I mean, now, tech positions are different. Like, I've had interviews, like, where I've gone in and sat down, like, oh, build me a dynamic link list. And I'm like, why? Am I getting paid? Like, well, no, it's part of your examination for this role. I'm like, the role doesn't pay me enough to do this stuff on demand. So the fact that you're giving me an assessment like that on the fly, I don't agree with. I'll do it for you, but then I'm going to write you an invoice. It's like, I can do this, and other companies aren't being this much of a jerk with me. So I hate to sound rude about it, but you've had issues with positions and wanting assessments. And didn't Forbes also say it's one of the worst qualities you could ever have out of a company?
Yes.
Is companies that give you assessments?
Yes.
Yeah. See, to me, that's a, let's find out what your pay grade's going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Like, I just took two, remember?
That's also another thing that Forbes said, remember? Pay grades.
Yeah.
Never work a job with pay grades.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't play that game either.
I kind of blew the assessment out of the water, and they're like, oh, we love your scores.
I'm like, so?
So? I'm good.
I could be a jerk of a person, though. You don't care about that, do you? You know what I mean? Also, I think when you have assessment-based jobs, they're very task-oriented.
Yeah.
I don't like task-oriented work.
I like how when things are different day-to-day.
I don't like task-oriented work because task-oriented work makes you a task worker.
And that's not what you are.
And you know what a task worker is? Factory worker.
Yeah.
That's the, you stand on the line, the belt moves, you put this part here, you push it to the next part.
Cog A with wheel B in the... Axel C.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing for anybody who's a factory worker. I'm not saying that at all. But if you want to keep doing that until the day you die, good luck.
Yeah.
And it also creates a lot of health problems because of repetitive motion.
Yes.
You know? And I understand people do things that they can, do everything they can. I get it. But I guess what I'm saying is if you have an opportunity to get yourself out of that factory or off that farm or whatever it is, do it. And these things will help you do it. For me, like I said, I blend my professional life with my personal life a lot. Not in a rude way, or not in a lewd way, but just in an honest way of like, look, who I am at home is who I am at work.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, I'm sorry you feel that way. I also am a firm believer in writing my personal marketing around not any specific company or industry,
mm-hmm.
but just around myself.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I've worked in IT and technology for 18 years. This year, but again, I'm still under 40, but at the same time, and again, this is as a paid worker.
Yes.
So not like I was like writing websites at 13 in my bedroom. I was actually getting paid by companies for 18 years to do work. But looking at it, you know, differently, a lot of people look at everything from an industry basis. I'm like, who cares? I mean, I'm just a fluid loner guy. I am a gun for hire. That's how I write my personal marketing is around being basically a hired gun. And I don't mean to say that, you know, in a weird way because of recent events, but what I'm saying is I'm a hired resource.
Yes.
Being a contractor is probably one of the best things that I've done. I prefer that line of work versus full-time employment, you know, as an FTE. And again, you can be full-time employed as a contractor, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, though, it just depends on what you want to do. I mean, for me, I'll do anything legal within my skill set to help a company. And I don't care where that company is. It could be in the United States, Canada, anywhere. I don't care. It can be anywhere. Anyway, write your personal marketing around yourself. Because that's who they're interviewing. If they're interviewing your task, they don't care who you are as a person. And you're not going to be happy with that.
And then the nice part is whenever you write it around yourself, you're going to keep it consistent with everything you say, no matter where you post it.
Because you didn't lie.
Exactly.
You didn't exaggerate. You didn't BS.
And the only thing you got to do is keep it clean.
And just be truthful.
Yeah.
When you go to that interview, it's not an interview. It's a discussion.
Yes.
Big difference. It's a huge difference. Like, when I sit down in an interview, I'm very laid back. I'm like, I'm so nervous. Why? You're talking to somebody you don't know and will probably never see again after that conversation. And you're talking about something that you might want to do. Not that you said you're going to do. Not that you have to do. Now, if you're at a point in your financial life where you're dying for a job, which you should never get to that point, hopefully... then that's a different scenario. What I'm saying is in the average work person scenario, the best time to look for a job is when you don't need one. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Yeah.
And when you do look for a job, just be a regular person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, so tell me more about yourself. I'm like, what would you like to know?
Yeah, really?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give you my biography. If so, I'll write it for you and you can pay me for it. It's like, why not just get paid for it? This is not an episode on A&E.
No.
You know what I mean? And quite frankly, I'll let small talk anyway. I tend to just kind of break down to the actual brass tacks of what do you need done? Why am I here? What do you think I can do that other people can't? I'll tell you what I can do that other people can't for you. And we can talk about, you know, things moving forward. Beyond that, if I'm just another person in there for like a cattle call interview or a task-based job, don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't want it at all. I'm also not managed well as a task worker. Like, check the box, check the box, check the box. No, no, no. If that's how you want to manage people, then as a manager, you suck.
Yeah.
I'll simply say, you're not developing your people. You're threatened by your people. You like to keep people under your thumb because that's all you're going to do is I'm going to do A, B, and C for the rest of my life. There's also the same people that get shocked when you quit.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're leaving me. Because you suck at it.
Exactly.
And quite frankly, you didn't develop me, so why would I stay? I mean, it's just a job. See, that's the thing. Personal marketing is around personal stuff.
Yes. I'm not going to market myself just for your company.
It's just a job, man. That's all it is. It's just a job.
Yeah.
And I learned that lesson probably about 10 years ago. You know, I think I was at a point in my life where I was like, I have to do awesome. I have to climb the corporate ladder. I'm like, just a job.
Yeah.
That's all it is, just a job. Because at the end of the day, when you leave a company, they don't remember you. They take the work that you did. You take the experience. You put it on your resume. You document it. But you'll never see each other again.
Exactly.
You won't. You'll never see each other again. You know, you won't be going out for beers together. You're not going to be doing any of that crap together. It's just a job. And I know people say, well, you want to have good references and stuff. I'm like, yeah. And I have the same references today that I had 10 years ago. Because they're personal references that know me as a person.
Yeah.
And one professional reference that also knows me as a person. Ugh. Anyway, we gonna wrap it up?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. All right, folks. Hopefully we were able to help everybody out this particular episode. Check out all of our other episodes. You can find them wherever you enjoy podcasts. Find out more at frugalsnobs.com. As we talked about, check out all the videos we have and subscribe to the YouTube channel on YouTube. Helps us out. And of course, you can check us out on social media. Frugalsnobs.com, of course, is where you would go to check all that stuff out. The Twitter. Twitter.com/frugalsnobs or @frugalsnobs. And none of that DM stuff, you know what I mean? If you're going to send us a message, it's easy to send us an email. You can email us at frugalsnobs@gmail.com. And, of course, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/frugalsnobs.
Yes.
All right, everybody, go ahead and just wrap it up here. Hope everybody had a pretty decent last couple of weeks. We'll catch everybody down the road. Be well. Never pay retail. Take care of yourself and each other.